Fine. So the first source I put here, I've mentioned to you before, I'm not going to read it inside, and that will cut down some of the time, was the Tshuva's Radbaz, who basically says that generally, methodologically, in Agadata, right, there are two things you have to understand. Sometimes part of Agadata is that it's, you know, there to help you relax while you're doing complicated Gemara, right? But, and then that's, you know, sort of the superficial level, and then underneath that, there's the deeper level that often in order to fully understand, you need to understand the whole picture by, you know, realizing that Chazal basically took one story and they often scattered it. Throughout Shas, to get the whole picture, you have to have a more holistic vision of Shas. So, the Gemara I was talking at last night was a relatively famous Gemara, source 2, Gemara in Yoma, where the Gemara says, right, Tan Rabbanan Ani V'Ashiya V'Rasha Ban L'Din. Right? When a poor person, a rich person, and a Rasha come to God, so he says to each of them, right? For each of them, he says, why didn't you learn Torah? So the poor person says, I was too busy. And the rich person says, right? The poor person says, I was too busy, I needed food, whatever. The rich person says, I was too busy, I was running my businesses. And then in each case, we bring a paradigm of somebody who managed to learn Torah despite that, right? Hillel managed to learn Torah even though he was poor. And then it brings the whole story that he, every day, he wasn't rich enough to get into the base manager, so he used to go climb on top of the roof and he used to listen in from the right? There's a famous story, everyone knows this, right? He used to listen in from the skylight. And then one day it was snowing, and there's several feet of snow, and Shmaya and Avtalion look up, and they see the tzura of a man, and they say, what is it? And they realize that he's there, and then they bring him inside, and they say, Ro'i zel chalav es ha-shabbos, which I assume, right, based on the Gemara in Yoma, and the Rambam's extrapolation of it, which you can look here in the footnote, what does that mean, right? The end of that phrase is Chalalav Shabbos Achas Kadesh Kaimu Shabbos Is Harbe, right? Part of the reason we save people on Shabbos is because there's an assumption that they will be able to do Kaimu or Mitzvos, and the Rambam takes this as a klal in all Mitzvos, not just in Shabbos. So what they're saying is, right, he's someone who could have done Mitzvos. Fine. Then in Ashir, we were learning with someone in Harsom, who was really, really wealthy, and despite the fact that he was really wealthy and he was running a million businesses, he found time to learn. And then the Gemara says, Russia, Omrim Lo, so the Russia, we say to him, B'nei Malo Asakta B'Torah. Why didn't you learn Torah? So Imamar Na Yisiyivi says, I was really handsome, Vitard V'Yitzri, and I was too involved in my Averos, right, in satisfying my Yitzri Hara. Yisi Omrim Lo, as Omrim Lo, Klum Na Yisim Yosef. Were you nicer than than Yosef? Amru Alava Yosef at Tzadik. So he said to Yosef, B'chol Yom V'Yom, I see Eishas Patifa, Mashalto B'Dvarim, every day, the wife of Potiphar would come to him and try to entice him. Because him shalav lo shachres, lo shal arvish. She wouldn't wear the same clothes in the morning at night, right? But him shalav lo arvish, lo shal lo shachres. Armelo, and she said, Hashmeli, listen to me, Armelo, love. Armelo, harini chovashkwe, his surin. She said, I'll put you in jail if you don't sleep with me. Armelo, fine, Hashem matir asurim. Hashem will free me. Harini koveves komascha, right? I'll cripple you. Hashem is okay. Hashem straightens up those who are bent. Harini misamasinecha, I'll blind you. Hashem koyach evrim. So Nasan lo elef kikare kesef lishmoila. He gave her 1,000. She gave him 1,000 talents of silver to listen. Lishkovetz liodima velo ratz lishmoila. He didn't want to listen. Lishkovetz la bolam azel liosima lo ma ba. Nimcha hol mechayves aniim. Elazar mecharz mechayves ashirim. Yosef mechayim as harishayim. So, what's the obvious problem with this Gemara? Right? What is the key to understanding this? I got it. To what drives the whole thing? Sure. Right? What is out of place in this Gemara?
Russia.
Why? What would you expect? Ani, Ashir, and?
Inoni.
Baltaiva, right? Whatever, right? Meaning, Ani and Ashir are not ethically charged words, right? They're not value judgments. He is rich, he is poor, right? And then this question, what do you do with it? But Russia is already a value judgment. Right? So the first things first, right? It's clear that the key to this entire Agadata is the glaring lack of parallelism between Ani, Asher, and Russia. Right? So now let's go back to the Agadata. Right? So what does the Gemara say? That the Russia says, I was too involved, be Yitzri. Now, presumably, right, this guy who's a Baltaiva thinks he's already a Russia. Why? Right, he's a Baltaiva, now automatically it makes me a Russia. So the first thing that's clear is that's not true. Right, what makes you a Russia? Right, acting, giving in to your Yetzer Hara. If you don't give in, then what are you?
A
tzaddik. In fact, right, if you look in the next medrash, right, why do we call Yosef HaTzaddik? Right? Nikra Shmo, Shem Masa Yosef HaTzaddik. Omar goes, Rechu Eli, Shema Yosef, Shavidiv Alas Nuz, Velo Shama El Donato, Shazim Mefateo. So, come on, Amar, Lo, Velo Shama Ela, Omar goes, Rechu, Nime Yaya, Shikavaz Yitzhar Lassus Ritzoni, right? it's not just Stam that, like, right, this mistake that they're making, right, that they already think they're Rasha'im simply because they have the desire to sin, right, when they should realize the only way you become a Rasha is if you actually sin. Right? You're telling me that Yosef's identity in Chazal as Yosef HaTzadik is dependent on the fact that he exactly was the person who had these taivos and conquered them. Right? Furthermore, right, and I noted, if you look in source 4 here, right, the parallel of this midrash in the Yalkut, just to make this point very clear, instead of saying, Na'a Yisaki Yosef, right, were you as handsome as Yosef, right, the phrase it uses is, Yifei Toar Yosef, were you, right, Yifei Toar Yosef, where is Yifei Toar? What is the literary allusion of Yifei Toar, obviously? Yifas Toar, which, what is the guiding principle of Eishes Yifas Toar? Meaning, right, essentially, right, if you read the parallel, it's clear what is the Russia, quote unquote, saying to God, and what is Hashem responding? He's saying, Yifei Toar Ayisi, I was incapable of not sinning, right? And what is the response? Were you more Yifei Toar? Right? This is right. It's an irony. Were you more Yifei Toar than Yosef? Yosef was better looking than you, and he wasn't compelled by Yitzhak Hara. Right? This is something you can overcome. Right? To make matters worse, right, let's think about his argument. Besides the fact that it's a patently fallacious argument, right, that you're a Russia simply because you have bad thoughts and don't act on them. And that it's totally ridiculous to say, oh, I didn't learn Torah because I was too involved doing Averos, right? These are two, right, obviously ridiculous claims that the Gemara is putting in the mouth of the Rasha, right? In the, right, according, in the eyes of Chazal, what is the best way of solving Taifa?
Torah,
right? There's a Gemara all of you saw a few weeks ago, right? The Gemara in Kiddushin, Daf Lamed Amud Beis. Right, we'll just look at the last line here for brevity. Right, the last three lines, Tanu Rabbi Shmuel Bini, Impaga Bechav, the first and last lines, right? The first line is, Tanu Rabbanu V'samtam, V'samtem, Samtam. I've given you the Torah, and we darshan it Samtam, meaning a perfect elixir. Nimshala Torah Kisam Chayim. Right, it is the Sam Chayim, and then it says, right, it's like a bandage. The last three lines say, Tanu Rabbi Shmuel Bini, in Pag B'cham Menuvel Zeh, Mashchei Leveis HaMedrash. Right? If this Menuvel, meaning the Yetzer Hara, comes to you, what should you do? You should bring this Medrash. Im Evin Huni Moach, Im Barzo Mizbotzeis, if it's rock, he'll dissolve. If it's metal, he'll shatter. Shneamar Haloka Kod V'Rai Ke'esh, Nu Mashem G'vali Shvotzit Tzela, Im Evin Huni Moach, Shneamar, if it's called Tzomei Luchulam Mayim, V'Omer, Avnim Shalchukumayim. Right? So now if we go back to the Agadata, right? Not only is it obvious that it's not an excuse to say I was overcome by Taiva, because first of all, just because you're overcome by Taiva doesn't mean you can't defeat it, right? You were not a Yifei Toar, right? This is not Dibra Torah Kenegedus, or this is not, right, something that was impossible. Davka, the ability to overcome it, is what makes you a tzaddik, right? Also, you're telling me this is an excuse not to learn Torah. No. The secret of Torah is going to get you out of it. So you kill two birds with one stone. It's not just that, oh, I wouldn't be able to criticize you for being, right, Mevatel Torah, but in fact, you would have solved your problem if you realized, right, that Torah is the solution and not the problem. Right? Now, we would expect, if this is the case, for somebody to have picked up on this in history and used Torah to get out of it. And in fact, if you look at the parallel of this midrash in Avos Derab Nasan, so the Gemara brings the exact same midrash, right? Yosef Atzadik, right? 6. V'yeshram zeh Yosef Atzadik, blah, 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 blah. And then the Gemara says, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, this is 5 lines down. V'al titmal Yosef Atzadik. And don't be shocked at Yosef. Why? Rav Tzadok hayagadol ador. Tzadok, Rav Tzadok was also God of the Ark. Kishenish belaromi nataltu matronisa achas v'ikvila v'shagalo shivcha achas nahaya. When he was in Rome, so he stayed by a noblewoman and she sent him a shivcha, right? The normal thing that you did then was when you stayed somewhere at a prominent house, they gave you a shivcha to sleep with. Right? This was standard. Kevin Shirosa, once he saw her, Nasan Aina Bakotel Shalo Yurena, he turned towards the wall so he wouldn't see her, but Yoshi Vishona Kalalila. And what did he do? He sat and Vishona Kalalila. He learned, right? Not Yasheni Shone, he learned. The Shacha Talchavikvila Eitzel Gvirtah, so in the morning she went to her master and Amrullah, she said, Shavali Amavis, it's better for me that I should die than you give me to this person. So Shalchav Karalo, so she sent for him, Amrullah Mipnei Malo, Sita Im Isha Zogirksha Yasmini Adam, why didn't you sleep with her like everyone else did? And Amrullah, Maesa, what am I supposed to do? Mikuna Gudolani, Mishra Gudolani, I'm from the Kohanim, I'm a great family. Shemba Abba Levir, Basin Mamzeri Israel, maybe I'll create Mamzerim. Kevan Shashama Dvarav, Tzivsala Batar to Begavad God. So once he heard that, right, that was like a huge Kiddush Hashem, and she let him go, the great Kavad Gadol, right? So what I read is the implications of the Gemara, when you really flesh it out, is explicit of Esther Abnasan. Namely, that using Yosef as the Avtipus, using as the paradigm, is supposed to teach you that that's the antidote. That's not the problem, that's the way to solve it. Right? And that's, right, Ritzadok uses Yosef as his paradigm, and in fact, solves the problem that way. Right? Now, 7, I just put Rashi, right, that while it's true that in Tanakh we have no indication that Yosef is a demut Torani, right, as a Torah personality, meaning in terms of learning Torah per se, right, Chazal put that into the image of Yosef, right, the famous Midrash that, right, Rashi quotes, that why did he send in Agala, why did Yaakov believe it was Yosef? Because that was the sugya they were last learning, and still 20 years later, right, he still remembers the Torah. The last thing I pointed out, we won't read it inside, but I think part of why Yosef culminates this Gemara is because if you read the Gemara, so what does it sound like? There are three nisyonos in life that could stop you from learning Torah, right? Poverty, wealth, and taifa, right? Now, think for a second about Yosef's life. Yosef goes through the absolute depths of poverty, right? He's a slave, thrown into a pit, right? I mean, their jails are essentially pits underground, right? This is not like a, right? The bottom of the bottom, right? And then what, right? When he becomes wealthy, he's the wealthiest of the wealthy, right? And if you read, right, the Medrash just points out, right? It's not just he was wealthy of the wealthy, right? He wasn't just second in command, he was first in command when it came to the practical things, because Paro was completely inept, right? So Yosef is, right, the financier of the whole world. So if Rav Elazar ben Charsum can say, oh, it was hard for me to, right, I mean, think about the Gemara now, right? The rich person said, I was too busy running my business. So the Gemara says, oh, Rav Elazar ben Charsum was busier than you, right? Kavachomer ben Menosha Kavachomer, Yosef is busier than, better than all of them, because he's not just like some huge businessman, he is the person running the entire world, right? He's dealing with food distribution the entire planet, right? Presumably, if he manages to go through dire poverty, the epitome of wealth and all of the responsibilities that come with it, and taiva together, right, then you have no excuse whatsoever. So, in a nutshell, right, this is a share I gave in 40 minutes last night, now I'm getting it in 15, right? And this shows you how everything can be boiled down to much shorter than what it's given in, right? Is that if you want, and I think, right, the deeper meaning of the Midrash is, right, you read the Midrash at first, right, it sounds like a very nice Midrash, right, Ani Ashir, Russia, but then you realize what drives the whole Midrash is the lack of parallelism, which, right, and whenever you see a lack of parallelism in a Midrash, you have to then start, well, why is it lack of parallel, right, why is it not parallel, and what is that indicating about the nature of the story? So then you look at it and you say, well, he says Russia, but the parallel should be Baltaiva, which means that this person is viewing himself as a Russia, even though he's not yet, right, it's only if he's given in. Right, which tells you that the hidden critique here is that you aren't yet at Russia, right? Just because you have Tava doesn't mean you should give in, right? By giving in a Hanami or Russia, but, right, you should conquer it. And that's why it uses Dafka, the image of Yosef, who is defined as a tzaddik because of his ability to get over that particular desire. Second of all, the critique that the Gemara here is saying is that you didn't learn Torah, and the irony of it is that not only, right, should it not be an excuse that, oh, I was, you know, at a brothel, I couldn't learn Torah, right? This is a patently stupid argument, right? Learning Torah is one of the things that Chazal view is giving you the ability to conquer it, right? So it's not just not an excuse, but actually, had you learned Torah, it would have solved the problem. That being the case, what you see already in Surah 6 is that Chazal, to illustrate this point, bring other people who use the paradigm of Yosef and therefore use Torah to save themselves from desire. My last point is that I think part of what's hidden in this Medrash is that, well, at face value, it sounds like, you know, each person has their Nisayon, and you have to conquer that Nisayon to learn Torah, right? The implication of the story is that no, is that no matter how many Nisayonos you have, because Yosef, when you actually think about it for more than 2 seconds, is not just the epitome of the person who conquered Taiva, it's the person who conquered Anius, Ashiras, and Taiva, and those manit, right? And if you really think about it, right, he was offered wealth as an ani if he would give in to taiva, right? So it's all, right, everything's really, really mixed all together, and despite the fact he conquers it. The last point is simply that if you actually read through the Medrash, I put an 8, right? There's a famous Medrash that Rashi quotes, but right, part of it is one of the conditions that he put on the people, right, when they took food from him was they should get a bris milah. They go to Paro, they complain, and he says, no, Yosef's in charge. Well, what does that tell you? That if you conquer it, right, and if you manage to do what you're supposed to do when you're wealthy and whatever, right, it's not just that the wealth can act not, you know, can not hinder you, and not only can you, right, learn Torah, but with power comes the ability to influence other people, right? Here they're not teaching him the Torah, but he's using his power and his wealth to influence them, to be makariv them to the Brit, right? So what you would see is not only is wealth not an excuse, but if you both learn Torah and have the wealth, right, that gives you an opportunity. So I think that's what, right, Chazal are getting at by purposely creating a lack of parallelism, which forces you to ask really about the character of Yosef, what it teaches you about overriding challenges, the ability of both Talmud Torah, the responsibilities that come with wealth, with power, and Yosef is sort of, the reason he's Yosef at Tzadik is he's able to conquer his Yitzhara, he's able to learn throughout all the problems, and he's even to take those, use those challenges, take them to, right, be Marbitz Torah, to increase Yerushalayim as opposed to as an excuse to get out of it.